believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children laugh. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
Bring back the family. I hope that everyone can hear me tonight. So yes. I'm Shanetta Cox, and our host, Kathy Coburn, is actually traveling at the moment. So myself, Shanetta Cox, and then Tavius Brannigan will be hosting this evening's show. Welcome, welcome to listeners all over the world. We're your hosts for this evening, and Dane and I are happy that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. where we focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And I'll hand it off to Dan.
Good evening, everyone. I am Dantavius Brannigan. And first, we want to acknowledge God with the scripture and prayer. Our very own Ms. Johnson will read scripture, and then we will pray. Take it away, Ms. Johnson.
Oh, I'd be happy to. The scripture this evening is Colossians 3, chapter number 3, verses 20 through 25. That's Colossians chapter number 3, verses 20 through 25, and it reads as follows. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for your generosity and kindness and patience. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We thank you for waking us up again, for another new chance to do better, for opportunities to serve, for your word, for your presence, for all the prayers you have already answered, and all the blessings we have already received. Thank you, Lord, that you know all things, and you care for and guide us. Thank you for purpose and for problems that make us stronger. We ask that you add a blessing for everyone who will participate, and for every listener of Bring Back the Family tonight. We ask that you draw us all closer to you. We ask that you give each of us the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We ask that you make it clear to every one of us what we can do to help bring back the family and support children in need. We ask for these things with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you again for that, Ms. Johnson. I hope everyone got to hear that and enjoy it.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson and Dantavius.
You're welcome.
So we'll get right into the show. Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth so that they will become good, productive citizens and be the kind of people that will make contributions to others around the world. All they need is a good foundation, and that foundation, as parents and community, comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we must do the same for them. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. So what do we propose we do to bring back the family? We propose that you do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should now know what we need to do for the next generation to have what they need to develop into good, productive citizens. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent quality time so that we would not be a nuisance to the community. Picture this: parents, young people growing into adults and going out into the community with no worry about them making a bad name for themselves and the family. It's time to give back. It's time to call for a reform. Whose responsibility is it? What are we going to do to make our minds up? Are we going to roll up our sleeves and get busy with the challenges, support, and sacrifices needed to make a difference in the world? Who is willing? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter of passing the torch and running the race? We want to see our youth doing great things because we prepared them. We can do this. We need to meet them where they are. How are we going to teach our children to reverence God and live according to his word, to be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, to be quiet and mind their own business and work with their own hands? The youth today need more than what we had. It is a different time and a different generational mindset. With that being said, let's get right into it. I would like to say feel free to press one if you have any comments or questions as we go through the panel today. As many of you know, we are going to be talking about the quote-unquote side hustle era today. A lot of people, and even children, teenagers, and young adults are developing small businesses all around the world. We want to talk about today how you can juggle your small business as well as your other responsibilities that you have going on, such as attending school, working a job, or any other responsibility that you have in your life. So we do have two special guests today, which would be Anthony Cox and Angelina Cox, who will be talking about how they navigate their lives as small business owners, as well as navigating this thing that we call life. So I'm going to take it away and give it to Dan to ask the first question to our panel.
Okay, so the first question is, what advice would you have for someone who is in school or working a job that wants to start their own business on the side?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone had a fabulous day today. Hello, Dan, Tavius, and Shania. Thank you for having me on the show today. Okay, what advice I would give someone as far as going to school and working to do a side hustle is my main thing to do it, and don't wait. You know, we work every day at 9 to 5 for a company that probably had the same thought. You know, should I run a business? Should I get a side hustle? And they turn into a big company. And we're going to work to help them fulfill that dream that they have. So why not do it for yourself?
Okay, yeah, that was some great advice. You know, I think, yeah, I also think that, you know, that was really some good advice, that, you know, you just got to get started with it. But Mr. Anthony Cox, you know, would you like to chime in on that?
Yeah, hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, all right, all right. Good evening, everybody. Dantavius, Naya, Pastoral, and special guests. What advice would I have for someone who is in school or working a job that wants to start their own business? My advice would be to see the benefit in having something that's yours, something that you create, something that you're in control of, and something that you can monetize on. You know, and just understand the importance of having a residual income and how that can have a huge impact on your future, you know, your financial security, and how it also can have an impact on your livelihood, you know, furthering your education, and so forth. So that's my advice, just to really see the benefit in having something that's your own that you can control and you can monetize on.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Anthony. So I would definitely agree with just kind of, to sum up what you said, just following your passion, and that can be monetized. At the end of the day, when you're following your passion and what God has intended for you to do on this earth while you're here is going to lead into that monetization piece. So don't follow the money. Follow your passion first, and then the money will follow right behind you. So thank you for that, both of you.
So oh, you're welcome.
We're going to go to the next question. What would be the most challenging thing owning your own business but also having other responsibilities? And you could also talk about how you kind of overcome those challenges as well.
Okay, I can answer that. The most challenging of owning your own business is a huge time. It seems like you don't have an off day. You have to really learn how to manage your time. When we first started our first business, which I was still working, we had a photo booth. So I had to really manage my time as far as working and also the photo booth. And when you're working a job for someone else, you have to go to them to, hey, I need this time. I can't work past this time because I told them I had a business. I was blessed to where they worked with me. Not a lot of places work with you, you know, especially if you're trying to do your own thing. So I think really time is the most challenging thing, especially, you know, if you have children. You know, at the time our kids were in school, we also have, you know, track practice or meets or games or a project. So it's really all about balancing your time so you can get, you know, each one done.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. And so just what I heard you say was really just creating those boundaries with your primary employment, I would say, to begin with, or primary responsibility, such as school or work. Hey, if you have a child that has basketball practice afterwards and maybe, you know, he or she wants to start a cooking business on the side, they'll have to set those boundaries such as, okay, I'll end practice at 8 p.m., rest for maybe an hour, 9 p.m. to 9:30, I can work on my business idea. Or if you're at work, okay, hey, I can't work all those hours this week because I have a business that I need to take care of. So boundaries is something that's really important. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay. Let me just piggyback on that a little bit. One of the most challenging things that I would say when you first initially get started is identifying your demographics and then finding your target market. And then identifying what you need to do to reach that target market and be successful with it. You know, because you can have an idea, and it could be a great idea, but, okay, you know, it's just an idea. So you got to put rubber to the road, get some traction, and really start implementing actions. And once you've identified, like, your target market, you have to really get out there, you know. You got to network. You got to talk to people. You have to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. You have to be. That's probably one of the biggest challenges that I say we face, and I definitely face with another one of the small businesses that we do. Is this really, you know, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, getting outside of your comfort zone to really put your business out there. So ways that I overcame that is I would practice. I would practice with family. I would practice with friends, you know, do sales pitches, talk out loud to myself, ask people what they thought about it, and then, you know, really just go out and do it. I would make it I had a goal every single day to talk to at least 10 people about my business. So out of those 10 people, say maybe, you know, two people may be interested, but one person may truly be committed. So I, you know, once I identified that, then I knew that that's what I had to do every single day, you know. and then work on getting it down to where it doesn't take a long time to do. You know, you could sit and talk to someone really quick, and so you could talk to someone really quick and really hit them with you know, what it is you're trying to do in a relatively short amount of time. So, yeah, that's what was challenging to me. And that's what, you know, that's what I did to overcome it.
Yeah, I could definitely understand where you're coming from because, you know, when it comes down to owning a business, you really just need to know who your target market is going to be, and doing that research is really important. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also would definitely agree with getting out of your comfort zone. I'm so glad that you said that because that's one of the things with stepping outside of your primary employment is, like, you know, starting your own thing and starting your own idea and your own passion. It's definitely getting out of your comfort zone because it's not the norm of what we've kind of just learned over the years. I would definitely say that every time that I've got out of my comfort zone, it's been so rewarding. So one thing I would say to the youth is, like, definitely get comfortable with being uncomfortable because it has been just amazing to see myself grow, and I know that it would apply to anyone's life, whether you're younger or older. Try getting out of your comfort zone, and you'll see the benefits of that.
Definitely. So the next question is, so we know that being an entrepreneur is hard, and sometimes people, you know, around you might not see the vision like you do. So how do you continue to see the light at the end of the tunnel and stay focused on that goal, even if you don't have the most support, even from friends and family?
How I overcome that, I keep at it. In my office, I have a to-do board. So this is just things that I know I have to do. If I have orders, I write it down. But also, I have two phrases on my board that every day I read those phrases. One is, the best way to predict your future is to create it. And I remind myself that I am creating my future. This is my dream, and I have to keep at it. And I don't allow the devil in my space. Some people won't see your vision. I saw my vision, and I know someone else will see that vision and love that vision. And the other one that I say to myself, you know, because I know it's hard owning a business. Sometimes you don't get orders. Sometimes someone, you know, you pass out a card and you see that card on the floor or in the garbage, you know. So I tell myself, it doesn't matter who you used to be. What matters is who you're becoming. I'm starting a business. I have a business. And it's hard at times, but I have to be my own cheerleader. I have to be the biggest cheerleader out there, you know, on the front for it. You know, I'm cheering myself on because sometimes you don't have that. You have to be your own cheerleader. When you have those down moments, you think to yourself, like, should I keep doing it, you know, because that person just told me, hey, you know, oh, I don't know about that idea, you know, that doesn't sound right. Anything, you start to ask yourself, should I keep at it? But then, you know, like always, I get that vision, I get that sign from God that keeps telling me, listen, you have to keep at it. You have to keep going. You know, this is a blessing that you started, and you want to keep that blessing going and going, because one day, yeah, that person's not going to see it, but you're going to bless someone, and they're going to see that. You know, my niece, I always tell her, because she sees me working. And, you know, when she was over here, she made shirts. And she was so excited because her Uncle Tony, he bought one, her dad. So that made, you know, I'm blessing someone, and I keep at it. And God is saying, hey, keep at it. You know, you're not going to get the yeses and all the time. It's going to be some no's. But you have to keep at it, because like I showed my niece, and she loved it. I feel like if I would have gave up and let it go, she would have never had that moment to where now she wants to do it. we're constantly, like, she wants to bake, so I'm constantly showing her, okay, let's do this, let's do that. You know, let's work on this, let's work on that. It's just to keep going, keep at it. And that's why I tell myself every day, even when I don't have any orders, where I'm feeling down and it's hard, I just read that to myself and I keep at it and I keep cheering myself on because I'm my biggest cheerleader. You have to be.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just keeping that determination and, you know, when things get tough, you know, just turning to God and remembering that you have a purpose. I really feel like I could resonate with that. Mr. Cox, do you have anything to comment additionally?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, and I'm going to utilize something that I actually learned from Shania and Angelita. A vision board, you know, and because there, you know, you definitely have people who won't believe in your capabilities. It's unfortunate, but it's to be expected. And, you know, when you start something, you start a business, you have to mentally prepare yourself for these challenges. Like, you have to, like I said, it's unfortunate, but it's to be expected. So you have to really reinforce your mind to be strong enough to withstand that negativity, to withstand, you know, the doubt, self-doubt, you know, doubt from family, doubt from friends. You have to utilize faith in the Lord, you know, to really have strength in your own capabilities and know that it is truly a blessing to be in a position to start your own business. And you have to keep that same attitude and mentality throughout the entire process. So that's what I wanted to add.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. And yes, I would absolutely say I love that you brought up vision boards because it's one thing that I look at almost every day that I remember, but definitely something that you have to believe in. At the end of the day, it's your vision, and it's your responsibility to make people still believe in it with you. So I definitely understand, and I love that response. So thank you for that, Anthony. Okay, moving on to the next question. Another part of the series, or kind of the panel questions that we have for you all today, is talking about burnout. So burnout is something that many people may have experienced throughout their life, and I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs have experienced that as well, juggling different responsibilities such as time management, prioritization, or organization. So I do want to just touch on a little bit about burnout and how we can kind of see what it looks like as well as overcome it. So the first question about burnout is, how do you juggle burnout and I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong question at the time. If you are burnt out, how do you get out of it? And what would that look like for you if you are burnt out at the moment?
I can answer that. Honestly, you know, it's hard. I'm gonna be honest, I'm still working on that, not to become burnt out. But I've truly gotten better with the help of Shania, with my time management, because when I first started, I put so much that I was doing things so last minute, and I just was truly burnt out. Because, you know, we're taught, especially in our community, you know, women, you know, we can do this, we can do that, and we put some, I'm sorry, I died.
Get over here. Get out.
Sorry, our dogs were barking. I was sitting outside.
Bruno, get over here. Get over here.
I'm sorry.
Get over here.
Get in. Had a long
That's okay.
Of thought.
Get in the house. Sorry, y'all. Our dogs were barking, and they barked at another dog, and we had to let them in the house.
Sorry about that. I lost my train of thought. Yes, I know. But as, you know, women, we are, you know, proud. It's always, hey, we can handle it, and we put a lot of stuff on ourselves. And we're not taught the signs of being burnt out. So when we are burnt out, it's at the point where we're so tired, we're sick. And, you know, our body is saying, listen, girl, you gotta sit down. I was trying to give you the warning sign, but you weren't listening. And sometimes we don't look at those warning signs of being burned out. So I'm really working on that, on time management, doing things early, checking off, because it's a great feeling to be able to finish something and not rush, because that's how I was doing in the beginning. I was just doing, and wasn't sitting back, hold on, let me map this out, let me do this, so I won't be burnt out.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm sorry, I was finished. Oh, no, it's okay. I was just kind of like, yeah, being burnt out, you know, listening to your body, knowing when you need a break or just to step away from something is really important. So not only will your body tell you, your mind will tell you in so many different ways. That's what God could tell you, too. But Mr. Kice, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Dan. Just real quick, I just wanted to add that, you know, there's something that I learned a long time ago. And I try to stick to it as best I can, because it is a lot of work managing your own business and juggling life and other responsibilities. But, you know, you could go 1,000 miles per hour. You'll eventually have to stop to refuel. And it might not just be gasoline, you know, with the invention of these electric vehicles, you still have to stop for recharge. You know, so case in point is what I'm saying is that you will eventually need to rest. You will eventually need to recharge the battery. So it's important to remember that, yes, it requires a lot of work, but you still need sufficient rest. And then once you feel tired and to the point where you feel burnt out, or you may be getting extremely exhausted, you make sure you get sufficient rest, get up and get back in the fight, you know. And that doesn't take away from your goal. Your goal is still in front of you. But if you don't get sufficient rest, then you're sluggish, you know, you don't have good mental clarity. You can't perform at your full potential. So you have to get rest when you feel burnt out. It's really important to do that. And like I said, you know, recharge and get back into the fight. So that's all I want to add.
Yeah, definitely. Rest and relaxation. Those are the two most important R&Rs that we know. But to change gears a little bit, I had a question come up into my mind. I just wanted to hear, like, so what's the most rewarding part of owning your own business? I know you have some, you know, financial freedom and those type of things, but what from you two's perspective, is the most rewarding part of owning a business?
I can answer that. The most rewarding, something that you created come to light, seeing your reviews on Facebook, because we have a Facebook page, Moments and Memories, for our photo booth, seeing those reviews. And like, we have been in the business since 2016, and we are still going strong. And it's all based off word of mouth, because people said, hey, they are great. You know, their business, you know, they come in, they're friendly, they just love how we are. So I advertise a lot, but a lot of my stuff comes from previous parties that we have done. And that is just the best feeling ever, because we take pride in customer service. You know, I love going to parties and seeing faces of people having so much fun in my photo booth. You know, yeah, you can say income, but, you know, it's that feeling of creating your own, I feel. And also, you're able to travel. You're able to make those basketball games. You're able to spend time with your family, you know, on the holidays. Those things are the driving force for me personally of having my own, because I don't have to say, hey, can I get this day off? My child has, you know, maybe sick or I can't come in. You have your own time, your own schedule. But those are, I think, the main things that I really love about having a business is just that feeling of, hey, we love your business. You know, or when I make a shirt, it's always, wow, you know, can I get another shirt? I wore the shirt, and they loved it because I take pride in it, and they can see that love that you put into the things that we are doing. So that's the main thing I think about having your own business.
Yep, I definitely love what you said, Ms. Cox, that was just amazing. And the fact that you brought up, you know, the monetary part later on, it just makes it even better, because at the end of the day, when, like I said, when you're following your passion and when you're enjoying what you're doing, the money is going to follow. I can personally attest to the photo booth events that I've helped out with. It's definitely been fun just seeing everybody and just having so much fun. It's really nice. But Mr. Cox, if you have anything to chime in on.
Yes, just a little. Yeah, I agree. The most rewarding thing for me is just like Mrs. Cox said, you know, just bringing a project into fruition and seeing it actually exist when it was just an idea is, to me, is extremely rewarding. And it's a tough question to answer, because, like, I would say that is the most rewarding, but also something that's also equally as rewarding is, like, working with the client and, you know, taking someone that has no experience whatsoever and then helping them build confidence and to being able to, like, you know, to defend themselves and exercise their God-given right to do that and teach them safety and teach them, you know, like the laws. And then it's the same with the photo booth. Same thing, you know, when we're done and that client just says, hey, you know, thank you so much. And you can see that they enjoyed themselves and that they learned from what you taught them and that it was a pleasurable experience. That's very rewarding to me. So those two things to me are the most rewarding.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. And I'm really glad that you brought up this, you know, piece of your business that you do cover is that personal defense as well as the educational piece of your business, which is one of the topics that I wanted to cover before we wrapped up our conversation and opened up the mics for the listeners. And as well as my three pieces of advice that I have for them. But I wanted to give you both some time to explain the businesses that you own and how people can maybe reach those businesses if they need your services.
I can answer that. Like I said before, we have a photo booth, Moments to Memories. We have a Facebook page also. You can reach us on Facebook. Or either cell phone, text, Instagram. I also recently started, a t-shirt / crafting business. I've been going back and forth what name I should have, but it was Angels Creations, but I changed it to Creations by Angel Monet. I can also, Anthony can chime in to the other thing that we also have. We keep, adding to businesses.
Okay. Yes. sorry. Excuse me. I have a business that where I teach personal defense. I teach firearms safety, firearms concealment, also advanced classes for a rifle, and I also have an executive protection and personal security and commercial security, and it's all within the same umbrella of AVR, that is Armed, Vigilant, and Ready Tactical. So once again, AVR, Armed, Vigilant, and Ready Tactical, LLC. And I can be reached at by phone at 313-693-5374 or by email at thecannon.ac@icloud.com. And we've been considering, possibly adding a private investigating branch to AVR Tactical as well, but that's a topic for another day. But currently, that's what I do. Also offer concealed pistol license training as well. So, yeah, that's what I do. That's how I can be reached.
I'm sorry. One more thing. Anthony reminded me. I didn't give my phone number. I can be reached at 313. 574-4206, and also I am the young lady behind all the flyers. I do the flyers for Bring Back the Family. Also, I don't know if anyone's seen, I've done T-shirts for Bring Back the Family, book bags, cups. Recently, I did magnets for Miss Cat to pass out, so people can put it on their refrigerator, because I told her they would never forget. Bring Back the Family, Blog Talk Radio, Friday. I love advertising. So I'm very blessed. My aunt, Kat, she keeps my brain going and going. So I'm very blessed to have her. But also, again, you can reach me on my phone, 313-574-4206. Thank you.
And one more time, I just want to spell out my email address because I can spell it out. It's thecannon.ac@icloud.com. Just because sometimes I have a tendency to, kind of stumble over some of my speech and that country dialect comes out. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, both of you, for that. Hopefully everyone got their contact information if they needed any of those services. And you can also reach out to Miss Kathy Clyburn if you missed that. I do want to touch on just three quick pieces of advice that I've developed for the conversation, and then we're going to go ahead and see if anyone from the audience would like to chime in. So I know that we talked a little bit about entrepreneurship as well as burnt out. My three pieces of advice would have to be, number one is to create a strict schedule and stick to it. And I know a few people are afraid of the word strict, but I only say this because being strict with your schedule and being very intentional with your time will allow you to not be become burnt out. For example, like the example I gave earlier, such as a child who may have like basketball practice and school and classes and maybe a job, dedicating time in your day and being strict with that time will definitely help you manage all that, as well as just avoiding that burnt out. For example, if you want to work on your craft from 4 to 6 every day, or either 5 to 6, dedicate that time and don't do anything else but working on your craft. So then number two would just be to don't multitask. I did get this resource from online. It's just when you pay attention to one thing at a time and give your full effort and energy to that one item in that strict schedule that you have, you allow yourself to be fully focused on that, and that's all that you're doing in that time period, and you're only focusing on that, and that's what's going to help you with developing your business or idea. If you can get two things done at one time, it's great, but this leads to feeling overwhelmed and not giving your all to the task at hand. So, such as doing your homework, you could go ahead and work on your homework from 5 to 6 p.m., and 6 to 7 p.m., you can go ahead and start on maybe your business idea, which is like a baking idea. Just know that your time is valuable for that moment and give all of your energy and effort into what you're working on in that moment. Lastly, I would like to say is putting rest on your schedule. We're not put on this earth to be stressed, burnt out, tired, and just kind of living day by day. Juggling many things can be hard. And in our community, in the Black community, we're told to work hard for what we want, which is absolutely true. But when are we told to actually rest? When are we told to just, you know, it's okay to sit down, you've worked a long day, you don't have to keep doing stuff, you don't have to find things to do. So make sure to incorporate rest on that planner or that strict schedule so that things like burnt out won't happen. Respect your planner and live by this, because we weren't meant to be burnt out. We're not meant to be overworked or anything like that. We're supposed to be just enjoying life as well. So especially while you're young and, you know, you don't really have a family to take care of just yet, you know, you don't have too many responsibilities. So make sure that you can rest and reset for the next day. So I do want to open it up to any of the listeners who may be listening right now. If they have any questions or comments, before Pastor O comes on.
Yes, I would like to ask a question about burnout and how to prevent it. I'm reading that periodic assessment of your goals and your skills and self-reflection can help. And I'm wondering if you think that vision boards is related to self-reflection.
I can answer that. I think so. I think it is related. We do a vision board every year, and how I do my vision board, I go into a quiet space, I reflect, I talk to God, and it's just me woo-sign. That's my self-care moment. You know, I've learned throughout the years, and even with, you know, having kids and a husband and life, you have to do self-care, you know, because you will get burnt out. So when I do my vision boards, I learn to just go in my quiet space. If it's summertime, I'll sit outside, go to the water, just somewhere peaceful and quiet, and just woosah and do my vision board.
Thank you for that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was a really good question, too. And I agree. I think it is a reflection. A self-reflection, because when you look within yourself and you get ready to complete the vision board, you're setting a goal for essentially, you know, where you want to be, but also how you see yourself, you know. So I also think that it is a reflection, a self-reflection.
Yeah, definitely. And just, you know, piggybacking off of that, you know, when I make my vision boards, it's really like, where do I want to go and how can I get there in the most efficient way possible while I challenge myself to grow. So I really feel like, you know, just reflecting, but also just being really in tune with your thoughts, praying about it. And even if you feel comfortable asking other people, like, you know, what's an area of my life that I can improve in? And, you know, just really ask them to be candid with you and then just take that information, you know, as a grain of salt and just, you know, incorporate that into your ideas for your vision board. So I think that's a great way. And then also just preventing burnout and doing some self-care, focusing on your mental health and those type of things would really be beneficial as well.
That's a really good point. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Does everyone on the call have a vision board, and what size are they?
I have a vision board. I used to do the whole poster board, you know, everything, but my daughter, Shania, she's like, you know, Ma, you can do it on the laptop, on the computer, but I still do both ways. But my recent vision board, I did it on my laptop, the laptop that I use for work, and it's on my home screen. So every time I go open up my laptop, I'm reminded of my vision board every single day. I'm reminded of what I wanted. On my vision board, I have, like, peace, love, just, you know, I have travel, airplane. It's just different things and God. So it's a constant reminder. And I think that was a good idea as far as on technology on my laptop because I see it all the time. They're like, hey, you know, Angelita, you know, you got to remind yourself, self-care, you know, because that's on there. You know, Angelita, hey, you got to woosah, put some time to the side, sit back, relax. So that's where my vision board is. It's on my laptop.
Perfect. Yeah, mine is on my laptop as well. But, you know, I would definitely say have both or do the paper copy. If I were to do a paper copy, I'd probably do it the size of just kind of like one of those colored pieces of paper, just so it's like easy for me to bring around with me so I don't have to, so it's not like a giant poster board or anything. It's really just like what best works for you. And I guess while we're waiting for some more questions, I do have just a few resources for some startup businesses for like advice or the financial piece of starting up a business. I've looked up a few things for any of our listeners or the youth that have an interest in starting up a business and may not have the funds to do so. There are an abundance of resources out there for us to go ahead and start what we would like to. The first thing would be angel investors. So these are actually wealthy private investors focused on financing small business ventures in exchange for equity. I would definitely say just kind of take a quick Google search on angel investors and how they would kind of finance your small business and what they're looking for in exchange for that. The next one I would say is pitch competitions. These are hosted all the time and everywhere you could probably think of. I've done pitch competitions while I was in school, and I've won some awards, and it was very just kind of like, it reminds you, okay, this is my vision, and I have to sell it to someone. At the end of the day, you know, you are a business. You do have to sell it to people. You have to sell that idea. So pitch competitions, I would definitely say look those up. I know that I've seen a lot go on actually in the Detroit area, and kind of just like celebrities sometimes host pitch competitions as well. Lastly, I would say venture capitalists. So like angel investors, venture capitalists take equity in your business in exchange for financing. Venture capital funds resemble mutual funds, and they pool money from investors. So three quick resources for you if you'd like to look those up and actually kind of working on your small business idea or your craft, and you would like to start monetizing that. Those are some three things to think about. But, yeah, we're still open up for the mic, and I will give it about 2 minutes. If we don't get anyone, we'll go ahead and have Pastor O chime in for the rest of the call.
Well, if no one, I mean, well, while we're waiting, I'm sorry, for more questions, I have a few things to say as far as because we talked about burnout, we've talked about, you know, time management, which is a big thing. One of my little things that I had to realize is focus on one thing, because I'm in the business of crafting. So, you know, the world of the internet, you have Instagram and TikTok, and I'm always on there, and I see, oh, I can do that. That's my thing, and I can tell my kids, they can tell you that. I always say that. I can make that. I can make that. You have to, when starting a business, you have to focus on one thing, because you will get burnt out. I have an office full of different ideas that I thought, oh, I can do that. I can make that. And I was just sitting there. So a big thing with the business, stay focused, perfect your product thing, and just, you know, stay on one thing, because it can get overwhelming with you just constantly getting things and doing things all the time. So, you know, just focus, learning your product, you know, always let your passion shine through, because your customers will always see that. So if you're focused on one thing and you protect, you know, oh, I got it down packed, then you can go to the next. I think that's a really good advice for anyone out there that, you know, maybe want to start a crafting business. You just got to stay focused, perfect that product, then move to the next. So don't be like me on TikTok and Instagram and looking at everything in Walmart and all this stuff. I can make that. I can make that. And then I'm buying stuff, and then it's sitting there waiting for me to make it.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that, Mrs. Cox. Yeah, it definitely kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier with not multitasking, because it will just lead you into just be feeling overwhelmed, and we're working right on the opposite spectrum of avoiding burnout. But with that being said, if we have no more questions, we're going to go ahead and pass it on to Pastor O. Good evening, Pastor O. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and start commenting on the show. Thank you, everyone.
Good evening, Shania and Dan, and to the guest host, the Coxes. It was just so awesome listening to them, you know, and listening to you. And those were some very good questions. And you don't know how valuable this information is. I mean, back in, 1992, August, actually July, but I actually started in August of 1990, August 27th, 1992 is when I started, when my side hustle, I worked for a company that did weed control and fertilizer, and I had developed a side hustle from that business. You know, I worked there, and then I did it for people on the side. So I just put that out there. But it was a side hustle, which later became my business, the business that my wife and I ran for 25 years. And everything, and then at the end of that, we retired and sold it. But everything I've heard tonight, I mean, is it never changes. When we started to even think about doing that, we went and listened to business seminars first to understand how this stuff works, and not just that field, but business itself, okay, because that's a whole thing by itself versus what you're doing. Ms. Cox talked about demographics. Understanding the person that you're going to sell to, that's going to buy your product. I heard the same thing from Ms. Cox. The same thing is who I'm selling to. I can't be disappointed because that person over there don't like my red hats. These people over here, all 50 of them standing behind her, love red hats. Can't wait to talk to me about it. So that's my demographic. That's who I'm selling to. And then he asked a really important question. How do I reach those people? I know those people. They already told me. But how do I reach those people that want what I have? So this is some invaluable information for people who are especially thinking about starting a side hustle, doing it because they have the experience of having a regular job and this on the side. And the things that's been discussed, time management, discovering your demographic and how to reach them, target your market, encouraging yourself along the way, and avoiding the pitfall of burnout, because it will happen. Then recognizing the rewards. Those rewards incentivize you to continue on. That could be part of the encouragement you need to continue on, is the reward from it. Like, you listen to your friends and people who work other places and the complaints they have about the office or the plant or wherever it is, and the bosses and the schedules, and as Ms. Cox said, the freedom to be at the game. I don't have to ask for Christmas off. I don't have to ask for Easter off. I don't have to worry about, will I be called in on Thanksgiving? Okay, so those rewards keep you doing the hard part. And see, they did, but they're doing, did both parts. And so this value, this information is totally valuable and relevant, and 50 irons in the fire will just end you up getting burnt. What you have to do is take one out at a time, deal with that one, then get the other one, deal with that one. As she said, make room for it. Make sure you have this thing over here. When I heard that, I cracked up, because, like she said, having this stuff, but it's not together yet. So we had the GMO services. We're doing that every day, right? It's a day job. It's days. It's right. So I created another business. This one was called GMO Pick Up and Deliver. We would pick it up and deliver it wherever you wanted it. One of the things I discovered about, there was two things wrong with that business. It worked the same time my other business did, and I don't like moving. So I didn't find that out until I started doing it. So that business crashed. Then there was GMO mobile auto repair. I would come to you, do it wherever you need me to. But then winter came. Didn't think that thing through. I don't like winter. So that blew up. Then there was GMO tow service. When I did the backwards research and then found out how much a tow truck cost and insurance to do it, well, that blew up. So then I created a really good one. This is GMO delivery service. You know, we would take your flyers and deliver them all over wherever you want them. We would do it. Okay. We outpriced everybody else. I mean, underpriced everybody else, but still was able to make a profit. Gathered up 24 quick employees all on call for any given day and time. And the only problem with that business is it worked the same time as the other business. So focusing in on the one thing that is working, rather than having those 50 other irons that just keep burning you and they don't work, perfect the one. Then move on to the other one. There are billionaires who own like 521 companies, right? And so it can be done. But I'm pretty sure they didn't start with 521 companies. And so that was some really good advice. It's all been good advice. Just to give some biblical perspective to this, you know, we hear it all the time. Everything is in the Bible, and that's true. And you've probably heard this before if you've been spending any time in church. You've heard this before. There was this widow, well, the wife of a man. This is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Pretty sure you heard about the cruse of oil. Her husband died, okay? And he was hung out with Elisha, but he was gone. And now the creditors are coming after her. And legally, they could take her two boys, which would put her in a horrible situation because they were all she had. And in Israel's economy, women couldn't own property. So the property that she was living on, if them boys gone, it's gone. Remember the story with Ruth and Naomi? Naomi couldn't come back home and just take the property. It had to go to the kinsman redeemer. And this would be the person who was able to inherit what their brother who left behind, and then take care of that. So she would have been in a horrible situation. And so Elisha, now watch this. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't start spitting and foaming at the mouth. He asked this lady, tell me, what do you have in your house? She getting ready to start a business. She don't know it. And I guess you could call it a side business because it's not her business currently. And it wasn't her husband's business, or he would have left it to the family, like Joseph, when he died, left Jesus in charge of the carpentry business to teach it to his brothers and to take care of his mother and sisters, right? So she's about to start a business, but she doesn't know it. And she thinks she has no, when Shania was talking about the resources that are available to get started, think of how many people think about starting a business but say, how? It costs money to start a business. You know, I used to get really angry when people would say, man, it didn't cost me nothing to start my business. I'm like, well, how did you do it? Well, I did it. I quit Chemline August 21st. I left there August 21st. August 22nd, I went to a car lot and explained to the man where I had previously worked, why I'm not working now, and I need you to let me have this truck. I gave him $805 with no credit at all, and he let me have that truck. And then I went to a supplier, and I did the same thing. I said, you know me. You've seen me before. I work at Chemline. I'm opening my own business doing this. You know me. I need some credit. He opened me up a line of credit. I bought everything I needed. We started our business, and it grew from there. So this lady is about to start a business. And just like I didn't know, she didn't know. She doesn't know. She just knows she got a problem. She needs some extra money. She's getting ready to create a heck of a side job. She's getting ready to go into the olive oil business. But she didn't even know she had these resources in her house. That's why you have to have God around. Okay, you need Jesus in your life. He can probably find something right in your house that can make you rich, because that's how this is going to end up. So Elisha said, so what do you have in your house? And she said, I ain't got nothing, nothing here at all. She said, except a small jar of olive oil. Small jar of olive oil. That's all she got. That's why I love small businesses, because I remember, if you look at the history of every business in this country, I mean before the robber barons took over, okay, everything started out itty-bitty. And became what the railroads we see today weren't the railroads back in the 1800s, but they became this. She's getting ready to start an oil business. She says she got a small jar of olive oil. That's it. That's all I got. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour the oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side. Well, she left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. Notice how they're doing exactly what she told them to do, what he told them to do. When God tells you to do something a certain way, it might not make sense. Because what is all these jars, this little small jar of oil, going to fill up all these jars? They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's no jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Wow. They gathered up all the jars in the neighborhood. And all they gathered up still wasn't enough to receive the blessing that God wanted to pour out. But let me tell you something. He poured out enough. Now they're about to start a business. They've already indebted themselves to the neighbors. Why? They borrowed those jars. They didn't give them to them. They borrowed them. Right? So they got to give that back. So she went and told the man of God, okay, we did what you said. We borrowed as many jars as we could. We filled them all up. Now the oil has stopped flowing. Now what? go and sell the oil. Pay your debts. Now watch this. You and your sons can live on what's left. Gather up enough oil to create enough income from a side job to live for the rest of their life, her and her sons. There's no, the only thing that can stop you from becoming a success, and the success is not Ford Motor Company. I mean, if that's what God wants you to do, Ford Motor Company, success is what makes you feel like you're a success. Success is how far you want to go. I mean, the limits are off. It's always up to you. We started our business, we had 30 customers. We ended 1992 with 30 customers. At the end of 1993, I kept hearing, and this is so important, the flyers and advertising should be through the roof. You should fall in love with that and never get tired of it. You think the people who run these commercials on television ad nauseum all day, every day, get tired of it? No. They're always looking for new customers. And that, and you heard the story told about how Mr. Cox talked to 10 people to get one person. So if you talk to 100 people, you got 10 people. Okay? And since this is your business and you are passionate, as you heard Shania saying, that passion is just overflowing. You, like Brother Cox, can't help us. I got to talk to 10 people today. There's 8 billion people on this planet. You'll never run out of talking to 10 people a day, so you'll never run out of the potential of growing daily. Unless you stop. If you ain't got no more jars left, then the oil stop. If he stopped talking to people, guess what? Customers might stop coming. If they stop caring about customer service, guess what? Customers might stop coming. Most of their customers come from the work they've already done. Let the work that I've done speak for me. So this woman, who had a horrible situation, had no idea that her and her sons were business people. They had to avoid burnout. They couldn't just sit in the house and say, we got this oil, and wait for people to come get it. They had to sell it. He said, go sell the oil. So they had to go. They had to talk to people. They had to say, we got this oil. And in those days, they used oil for the lamps. They used the oil in medicine. They used the oil for salves for the animals. They used the oil for anything you can think of. They used that oil. And she got a lot of it. And she putting it on sale. Because I got 2 sons I don't want to lose to the credit card company. And so her side hustle didn't just get her out of debt. Her side hustle made her rich. When I listen to these two, the Coxes, and the dedication, this information is invaluable. It's incalculable how much it means to people who are even thinking about doing a side or full-time business. The things that's been discussed here by people who are doing it, that makes all the difference in the world. People who talk about it, don't get me wrong, from a scholastic point of view only, okay? Like the guys who used to come to work in some of the mechanic shops I worked in, who just come from some of the best auto mechanic schools but never worked on a real car outside of a learning environment, never in the real world, never saw a boat that didn't look like a boat because it was that rusty and decayed, and you have to take that off without tearing the car up. They didn't have any experience for that. But we were there. They taught us. We taught them. And so that's what you get for them to come on here and to be willing to do this you know, to give up this time. This is a part of that time that they had to manage this in, pencil this in. Okay? Does it fit? Are we burning out? We've had a long day, and here we are with, you know, so, yeah, they had to manage all of this, all of these things that we heard today, and even in this story right here, they had to learn all of that. Them boys had to become salesmen. And I know their mama was like, look, you want to get sold, you better sell this oil. You better find somebody to buy this oil. That's what you better. Don't be talking about who we going to sell it to. You better go. You, look, you want to see that man over there? He come to get you. You want to go with him? Go. They sold all that oil. They went out. They got that demo. They did the work. They discovered who their demographic was. And they found out how to reach them. Why? Because they sold the oil and paid their debts. And they was able to live off what was left. See, T.D. Jakes, one time when I was looking for a preacher who would teach for real about finances and not talk crazy about, you know, just give tithes and give offerings. And that's true. God will bless that. That's true. But we weren't talking about church. We were talking about business. And we were talking about life. I ain't got to pay me tithes to pay DTE. God didn't get, you know, so what he was talking about, maximize the moment. And he talked about real stuff that was talked about here today. And how to, how his father started mopping floors, was a janitor. And then his father decided he had hired somebody to go clean offices, and then it became a business. And so there's a connection between having the Lord on your side, because definitely, even though it's Elisha who God's working through, but I'm pretty sure it was the Lord who gave Elisha the plan to give to this lady. And I'm sure they did their part, going out, discovering who needs it, how do I get it to these people. They had to become like, you know, when Amazon brings stuff to your house, they had to figure out, how do I get it to them? How do I transport it? Okay, they had to learn accounting. How much did we sell? Well, now, God helped them out a whole lot with inventory, a whole lot. All they had was a jar full of oil. Then they ended up with jars full of oil. So faith mixed together with work, okay? See, God says he'll bless what you do. So when they went out to sell that oil that he gave them to sell, that he blessed them with, and you better believe they was passionate. I mean, you're going to be sold into debtor's prison, okay, and won't get out until you pay it up, right? Okay, that was a good incentive for them to go out and become experts at sales, at accounting, and everything else. Understanding what profit is. Profit is what you have after the bills are paid. And they had profit because they paid their debts and they lived on what was left. You can't do that without profits. They had a lot of profits because they had a pretty good debt. Both boys were going to be sold for the debt. So the father had ran up a big credit card bill and then died. And now his wife stuck with it. And she's about to lose her kids. She created a business. And then just create a business. But as you heard Shania say over and over talking about that passion, as you heard the Coxes say, that passion, people will see that. And when they see that, they don't mind paying you. You know why? Because they know you're going to do a good job. They see your passion that you're not even talking about money. You're concerned about this placement of this. And when I listen to Sister Cox talk about the joy that she gets from seeing people enjoying the photo booth, the joy she gets from just getting the money. See, that's what sells. That is what sells. That make me want to get in the photo booth. I think I need to get in the photo booth. See, I'm sold. When they, amen. Okay, I'll be them priest till next week. But anyway, Tunaya, everybody else, Dan, everybody, Kat, Rebecca, amen, Ms. Vandegrift, everybody, this show definitely needs to be shared. It's archived, all of them recorded and archived and need to be shared because the way things are today, practically everybody you know needs a side hustle. You know, it's just inflation is what it is. It is what it is. We like to blame the president for it, but he's not the Fed chairman. He can't do anything about it. The Fed got to choose to work that. Okay? So everybody's going to need a side hustle sooner or later. And the information that Shania gave out about funding is very important. And then having a plan. Have a plan. They had to formulate a plan. They came up with a quick plan. Go gather up some empty vessels, okay, bring them back, get behind closed doors. So what the Lord see in secret, he can bless in the open, okay, just like the words say. And they did that. And they got that. And so the same Lord that blessed them to do secular business is the same God that will bless you to do secular business. Yeah, he knows you have a job. So whatever it is you're passionate about, make it a niche. Make that your niche job, you know, fit in somewhere, get in. My brother, he did investments backwards. And he wrote a book about it. He said, he asked me a question one day about money that people say they lost in the stock market. He said, did they really lose it? He equated it to money people lose in the casino. Did they really lose it, or did the casino gain it? And so what he did is look for the gainers, the ones who gained from the people's losses, and he invested in those companies. He invested on both sides, and it worked by asking a simple question. If they lost it, where did it go? And he researched and found out where it went. Usually it goes to banks who you owe, and that's who you lost it to. You lost it to the bank, and so you invest in banks. That's a risky business, but anyway, amen. So, yeah, I am thankful to God to have to sit here 25 years after doing business and to hear that it is still the same. And you have people who are willing to help people, and especially in these days and times when everybody wants to make a better income. One of the benefits is you get to control your financial destiny, but you can't be lazy. No, you have to. On the job you work one part of that job. But when you open a business, you're going to work every part of it. For 25 years, my wife and I were the front to the back of the business. Okay? We ran every part of it. Did everything. She handled books, the bookkeeping, and all of the, I mean, a ton of administrative duties, and I handled the science side of the business. What will actually turn your lawn green and get the weeds out and not let the bugs eat it up, those kinds of things. So we worked it like that for 25 years. And it's everything you've heard tonight is true about business. Especially to navigate burnout, we made regular trips twice a year to Mackinac. We didn't care what part of our business we were in at that time because our business was applications, six of them a year, and we had to schedule things so that we could get away twice a year, once in the beginning when things started getting real crazy in the spring, and then again in the fall when we're about to kill all our customers. No, we wasn't going to do that. But what I mean is we had to intentionally be intentional about us time. And so we would take 5 days in the fall, 5 to 6, 7 days in the spring. And it went like that for years. So all of those things are true. But if you're going to do business, be prepared. Like Jesus said, occupy till I come. That word is an English word, but what it means is do business. Do business. So if you're going to do business, do business. Those people in Matthew 25 that he gave, that's what he told them, occupy until I come, if you read it from the King James Version. But what it really means is do business until I get back. Don't be idle. The last man who had the one talent, who he had the skills to turn it to two, he was idle. And he ended up losing what he did have. He didn't get anything out the deal except a scolding. So it's up to us to, it's our responsibility. If you're going to be in business, it's your responsibility to be intentional about every part of it, the rest part, watching that money. Don't get happy and start spending inventory money, because you're going to, if you got products that you have to have or there are costs to it, you have to pay those and still make a profit. Remember, profit is what you have left after all the expenses are paid. Nothing else is profit. You know, cash flow is everything. But anyway, okay, so God bless you, and thank you for bringing this subject up. Kathy, this is an awesome discussion. Shania, Dan, the Coxes, and everybody else, thank you for letting me pontificate this long.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor O.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you,
Will.
Hey, thank you.
Very
thank
inspirational.
You.
Thank you, Pastor O. And if you ever want to come along and join the photo booth business, come on. You got my number.
I'm telling you. And that is what's going now. Every time I get on Facebook, I see people spinning in circles, taking pictures, and I'm like, what is going on? Jesus says it's a whole new world. Let's get paid. But that's good. I mean, finding those
Thank
niches
you.
And getting in there and doing it, you know what I mean? Find that, you know. That's how people ask me a million times, how are you going to compete with Kimlon and True Green and all the other Scots that were out there? I'm like, no, I'm not trying to take over. I'm just trying to take what they can't get. For instance, I was contracted not to go back into the 8 Mile to Puritan area between Livernois and Southfield Freeway, that whole 48235 zip code area, because that's the last place I worked. The contract said I couldn't go back there for 6 months or even a year, a non-compete contract. Well, I didn't live over there. That was just my route when I worked for them. I live here in Ecorse. So what I did is I came and took over Ecorse, River Rouge, and Southwest Detroit, then Lincoln Park and Allen Park, and then as far down as Woodhaven, as far north after the next year, as far north as 13 Mile Road. So we niched in Ecorse, Rouge, and Southwest Detroit, and then we just started moving out from there. So, yeah, I'll call them the good old days, But that was a lot of fun, but, you know, business niches are everywhere, and you don't have to, you know, be Ford Motor Company, but you can sell to Ford Motor Company.
Very good advice. Very good advice, Pastor O.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. It seems like every time I come on here, the Lord gives me a lot to say. And that's what speaks to what's going on here is needed. And people need that advice. I can't think of, you know, I'll tell you how many seminars my wife had to suffer trying to be sold something, trying to get some information. And to come on here and hear what I heard, these people were charging $50 just to hear it, okay? And then if you wanted their books, then that was another $500. The 50 gets you there. The 500 gets you the books. But what I heard tonight, having done business and was able to sell it at the end, this is the $500 book they were trying to sell. When you have somebody who's doing it, you know, that makes all the difference in the world versus somebody who's just talking about it. You know, they can theorize, but they really haven't done it. And until you felt that struggle of slow sales, or you sell fertilizer, my fertilizer was a big part of my business, and it's oil-based. So when the price of oil went up, a $9 bag of fertilizer went to $17. What does that do to your profit margin? So we had to work through that for a lot of years. We had the ups and downs of everything, weed controls, insect controls, all of that stuff's oil-based. And so it drove prices through the roof. Insect controls, that was $25, which I complained about at the time, even though my profit margin was huge. I complained about it anyway, and then that $25 turned to $62 a bag for 40-pound bag. And so you pass all those costs to your customer base, and they're not happy about that. And so we found ingenious ways to double the cost without losing a customer. And, you know, you're giving them two things instead of one. And that's the way we sold it. You're getting fertilizer and insect control all in one, and we're not charging you extra. It's just two applications in one, yours double. And we were able to get by. We produced, like we said, but we also cured our doubled up inventory costs. So this business is tricky. It, you know, when inflation hit, everything went up. And we're dealing with that, you know, but, you know, now I'm a pastor. That's my business. And that's the way the IRS views me, as a business. But, you know, that and it is a business. There's a business side to the church, believe me. I wish the church was just Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week is yours. But it's not. That's when you do the business. And once again, my wife is a church administrator. I do the science part, teaching the Bible classes and arranging all of that stuff. And once again, her and her group takes care of the business of the church. I never thought about that until I just said it now, that we're right back doing the same thing. But this is even more pleasurable than our business. Our business just it demanded all the time. It just never stopped, and we accepted that. We wanted it. We got it. We're doing it. There it is. It is what it is. So we just started doing exactly what you said. All of these things are, you know, this is invaluable, and it's free, and it's unbelievable. And they wanted $500 for this kind of information. So thank you guys again. Appreciate you. And keep being willing to let our people know. Let all people know how they can be more prosperous, but it's not going to be easy, and you have to be intentional about it. You can't just think of the glorious part of being in business. You know, you have to think of, and these the coming up part, that is the hardest part. The first 5 years were the worst for us. But we got past those first 5 years. That's where most businesses fail. And we got past that. And for a while, for a year anyway, my wife was working at the bank and I was doing the business. And so It was, like I say, the side hustle became the main hustle. And again, all the other irons I put in the fire without even thinking it through, and yeah. So it just stirred up. When I listened to you guys, it just stirred it up all over again, and I'm like, it's still the same. Nothing, it never even changes. I mean, the products and services might change, you know. And the best example I heard tonight about burnout is the new electric cars. You couldn't get no better than that. And I'll quit with this. They have to be recharged. And you cannot want to stop if you don't want to, but they will just stop. They'll just stop unless you recharge. And if you're going to do business, be intentional about your downtime. Especially if you're married, be intentional about your downtime before you lose yourself in the business, and then don't even know who you're actually a part of the business. No, the business is a tool to do whatever you wanted it to do for you when you started. So it's going to do for people like who was this? T.D. Jakes said, I think it was him who said, in his business teachings, that just provide people with a product or a service and everything else will work itself out. Just give the people what they want. At Chemline, I created this thing called need selling because they were trying to sell people in the black neighborhood. They called it hardscaping, you know, fancy sidewalks that go from your porch to the sidewalk. I said, well, you might want to not try that. What you might want to do is find out what they need and then sell them that. And so we did discovery agreements based around discovering people's real need from a lawn company. And then we sold them that. And then sales went through the roof. And so they created a thing called... You know, when you work for a large company like that, any idea you have according to the contract is theirs. And so they created what's called need selling. And I'm like, really? And y'all got the nerve to do this, and I'm still here. And that's what made me want to get out, because I no longer wanted to sacrifice my intellectual properties. Okay, I got to quit. My wife is at the door. Chime in the chimes. So, Shania, you can take over.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Pastor, so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome,
man. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you to everybody who commented and who listened in. I hope you got something from it. And we can't wait to hear about some of the new businesses you all are about to start. Have a great night, everyone.
Okay.
You too. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All righty. I'm going to play this song. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not, but if not, just blame it on Rebecca. This was all Rebecca's idea. So this... All right, kids. Good night.
Uncle Ricky, would you read us a bedtime story, please? Please.
All right, you kids get to bed. I get the storybook. Y'all tucked in? Here we go. Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, where laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they ought to good, there lived a little boy who was misled by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you tonight, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making the dash. They did the job, money came with ease, but one couldn't stop, it's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another, and a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DC undercover. The cop grabbed his arm, he started acting erratic. He said,
keep still, boy, no need for static.
Punched him in his belly and he gave him a slap. lap. But little did he know the little boy was strapped. The kid pulled out a gun, he said, "Why'd you hit me?" The barrel set straight for the cop's kidney. The cop got scared, the kid he thought to figure, "I'll do years if I pull this trigger." So he cold dashed and ran around a block. Cop radios into another lady cop. He ran by a tree, there he saw the sister. Shot for the head, he shot back but he missed her. Looked around good and from expectations, he decided he'd hit for the subway station. But she was coming and he made a left. He was running top speed till he was out of breath. Knocked an old man down and swore he killed him. Then he made his move to an abandoned building. Ran up the stairs up to the top floor. Opened up a door there, guess who he saw?
Who?
Dave the dope fiend shooting dope. Who don't know the meaning of water nor soap, he said.
"I need bullets, hurry up, run."
The dope fiend brought back a spanking shotgun. He went outside but there was cops all over. Then he dipped into a car, a stolen Nova. Raced up the block doing 83. Crashed into a tree near university. Escaped alive though the car was battered. Rat-a-tat tatted and all the cops scattered. Ran out of bullets and he still had static. Grabbed the pregnant lady and pulled out the automatic. Pointed at her head, he said the gun was full of lead. He told the cops, "Back off, for honey here's dead." Deep in his heart, he knew he was wrong. So he let the lady go and he starts to run on. Siren sounded, he seemed astounded. And before long, the little boy got surrounded. He dropped his gun, so went the glory. And this is the way I have to end this story. He was only
17
in a madman's dream. The cop shot the kid, I still hear him scream. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. Just another case about the wrong path. Straight and narrow are your soldiers. Cash. Good night.
Knock him out the box, Rick. Knock him out, Rick.
The ruler presentation.